the Chakaleshwar at Govardhan. At Govardhan, Chakaleshwar. His samadhi, was it Bhajan Kuti? Was it his Bhajan Kuti at Chakaleshwar? He left his body at Govardhan at Chakaleshwar. And if you're interested, you can go and see the very place where he used to sit and where he got the benediction that no mosquitoes would bite him. Because he was about to leave the place, and it's very close to Lord Shiva's place, and Lord Shiva didn't want to lose his association. And so he said, "Don't worry, I'll take care of the mosquitoes for you." No mosquitoes there. It's probably the only place in Braj. Okay, so in honor of Srila Sanatan Goswami, we will sing his prayers to Srimad Bhagavatam, which we sing every day. He is our Adi Guru. He is the Guru of the Goswamis. Narayanam Namaskritya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Narayanam Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tata Jayam Udirayet. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, Divinity and Divine Service, verses 11 to 16. Varanti tatatavidas tatam yajnanam adayam vameti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdite. Translation. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langhayate girim yakipam tamaham vande shivurum dinatayam om magyana timrandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshumiritam yena tasmai shivuruve namah. So we heard Srila Prabhupada said in the verses that we discussed yesterday, Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna are the sum total of all things. So now we have everything here, right in this room. The spiritual world, everything is here. Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna. So we heard how Shukadev Goswami is giving us Bhagavatam as a torchlight to lead us out of the darkness of Kali. So this Bhagavat Purana, the science of devotion, this gives us attraction to Krishna simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll hear this more about this tomorrow. And this is actually the param dharma, the goal of life, or actually the means also to attain the goal, devotional service, the highest dharma. And any dharma which does not lead us to attraction, to hearing and chanting about Krishna, we heard that, useless, waste of time. Srila Prabhupada said in the lecture, the occupation of the body, the occupation of the mind, and the occupation of the intelligence will not give us satisfaction. Only the occupation of the soul. And that is bhakti. Soul is searching for satisfaction. But in this world, we're not finding it. Therefore, only devotional service to Krishna can give us full satisfaction. But that service must be haituki and apratihata, causeless, without motive, and without interruption. This can satisfy the self. We learned also that we should be conscious of our duty to Krishna and see whether or not our activities are leading us to attraction to Krishna. See how we are using the fruits of our bhakti. We should not misuse the fruits for our sense gratification. This is a warning given by Bhagavatam, also by Srila Prabhupada, not to become degraded in the name of religion. Our destiny is fixed. We can't change it, but we can change our consciousness. And so this is the point, and especially tomorrow we will see the process of change of heart, change of consciousness. So we heard the purpose of our existence is to inquire about the absolute truth. Today, we are hearing exactly what is the absolute truth. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. According to Bhurijan Prabhu and his lectures, this is the Paribhasha Sutra, the shloka upon which the whole Bhagavatam is based. Bhurijan Prabhu arrived yesterday, and he said he'll be visiting our class as long as we don't call on him tomorrow. He wants to see what's going on. Paribhasya Sutta. Paribhasya. Actually, there's two, and we'll find out the difference between the two Paribhasya Sutras when we get to the second one, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swami. That's also Paribhasya Sutra. They're different types. So when we get to that verse, then we'll clarify that more. But this is one type of Paribhasya Sutra. So in order to understand the Absolute Truth, we have to go to the Tattvavits, the Tattvadarshinas, those who have seen the truth, those who know the truth, knowers of the truth. So they are speaking to us here. Sutta Goswami is quoting the Tattvavits. They say that the Absolute Truth is realized in three different features, according to the capacity or realization of the person. The Jnanis realize the truth as Brahman. They are searching for the truth through mental speculation. The Yogis realize the truth as Paramatma, and they are searching for the truth through their mystic yoga practice, Ashtanga Yoga. Devotees realize the truth as Krishna, Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they are searching for the truth through devotional service. So three different types of transcendentalists. Realization of Brahman and Paramatma are partial, because these people, the Jnanis and the Yogis, are seeing the Absolute Truth from a limited perspective. They don't see the whole picture. The Jnanis, they see the light, and they're very enamored with the light, Brahman, and they see their oneness with it. The Yogis, they see Paramatma, and they are enamored with Paramatma. And unfortunately, most of them think that they must become one with Paramatma, and they merge. They don't go further. Of course, Krishna tells the Yogis, you should go further. You should understand that I and the Paramatma are none different. But the devotees, they see Krishna and their oneness with Krishna in their relationship as eternal servant. They see how Brahman is his effulgence, Paramatma is his plenary portion. So therefore, the devotees can see the Absolute Truth in his fullness. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives us a nice story in this regard about seven blind men. They went to see, as well as they could see, an elephant. And one of the blind men got a hold of the trunk. He said, an elephant is just like a snake, a big, big, long snake. And one of the blind men, they got a hold of his leg. They said, no, no, an elephant is like a tree trunk. And another got a hold of his ear. And he said, no, no, elephant is very thin and long. Another one got a hold of underneath. He said, no, it's big like a house. So who is correct? Only the one who can actually see the whole elephant. So the devotees, they see the whole. Now another angle on this, of course there's three features, but they're also advayam. They're one, without any duality. So what does it mean that they are one? Because they all refer to one aspect of Krishna. They're all Krishna, actually. When you speak of Brahman, Brahman is Krishna, is Param Brahman, as Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. When you speak of Paramatma, that is also Krishna. Krishna is Paramatma. He's expanding as Paramatma. And so the Absolute Truth is one in this way. The Jnanis, they are satisfied to see the light. The Yogis, they want to go a little further. They want to see the source of the light. But the devotees, they want to go all the way. They want to see, where is this light coming from? What is the source? And so one time, a devotee wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada, and he asked Srila Prabhupada, when the devotee goes back to Godhead, does he go through Brahman and Paramatma and all these realization? And Prabhupada's answer was, what? What did Prabhupada say? I see some no's. Any yeses? Prabhupada said yes. He says, just like if you want to go to the sun, you have to go through the sunlight. You go through the sunlight, you go to the sun disk, and then you meet the sun person. So the devotee goes through the Brahman, he goes through the light, he goes through, penetrates the Brahman until he reaches Krishna. Because he's not satisfied with simply seeing the light. He wants to see his beloved Krishna. He wants to penetrate, just like in Isha Upanishad, Hiran Mayena Pachayana, Satyasya Pihitam Mukham. Oh my Lord, I can't see you because of your effulgence. Please remove this effulgence so I can see your beautiful form, bliss. So this is the desire of devotee. So if you try to approach Krishna through devotional service, automatically you will understand Brahman and Paramatma. There's no need of separate endeavor. You don't have to sit in yoga meditation and do all these things. You will realize everything in Krishna. So the next verse, verse 12, explains who is qualified to see Brahma Darshanam, to realize the absolute truth. Tacharadana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pasyant yatmani chatmanam bhaktya shita gahitaya. Translation. Seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes the absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. Shraddhana, first qualification. Sometimes people say, can you show me God? Have you seen God? So the answer is, yes, you can see, but you have to have qualification. You have to have Shraddhana. This word we heard again already in the first chapter, we're going to hear it again today. This word is repeated over and over, Shraddhana. You must have faith. You must have at least a little faith, a little Shraddha, in order to see Krishna. So how much qualification? Suppose you have a computer, something's wrong with your computer. And just by looking at your computer, it's very difficult for you to tell what's wrong with it. You may open it up, you may turn it on, you may try different things. But unless you get the qualified technician, then you cannot understand. So Prabhupada said, just imagine how much qualification you need. Of course, that time there were no computers, so Prabhupada said car, for your car. Just how much qualification, just to see what is wrong, just to understand one mechanical electronic equipment. So what kind of qualification you need to see God? So Shraddhana, first, faithful. And Shraddhana, besides meaning faithful, means eager. Prabhupada says, very great eagerness to see God. We discussed that eagerness before. Prabhupada tells a story about a thief who was very eager to see Krishna. He was listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Sapta, and he heard the person saying that Krishna, when he goes into the forest, he's decorated with jewels, so many jewels. So the thief said, yes, I must meet Krishna. Where is Krishna? Vrindavan? Okay, he went to Vrindavan. He said, I must meet Krishna and get all his jewels. I'll become a millionaire overnight if I get all these jewels. Great eagerness. He had so much eagerness that actually Krishna came to him. He saw Krishna. And so then the thief said to Krishna, you have so many jewels. You think you could just give me a few of them? I need them very much. Krishna said, oh, I can't do that. My mother will be very angry. I cannot give you my jewels. My mother, she'll beat me. I don't know what will happen if I give you my jewels. So then after some time, the thief actually got a change of heart. And he said, no, anyway, that's okay. I don't want your jewels. I just want to be your servant. And Krishna said, no, you can take my jewels now. It's all right. You can have them. And so in the same way, this eagerness is required. And one of my godbrothers had this eagerness in the same way. He saw Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was wearing a gold watch. And he thought, I must go and steal this watch. And so he went to meet Srila Prabhupada. And after meeting Srila Prabhupada, he forgot about the watch. And he became a devotee. And later on, Prabhupada told him, he said, don't worry, I will give you so much opulence. And it happened while Prabhupada was here. This devotee, although he had no money, he was traveling all over the world. He had 2-3 apartments now. He became a famous movie producer and actor, and he got 2-3 apartments in Juhu, the most expensive place in Bombay. But anyway, Krishna, I guess it's kind of like Dhruva. You have the desire, such determination to meet Krishna, and then when you meet, you don't want it, but then he gives it to you anyway. And so, anyway, this eagerness is required. Prabhupada said, no matter what the motivation, if you're just eager to meet Krishna, Shraddhana, and you have faith, this is very important. And if you have developed that eagerness, then munaya, you become a muni, become a great sage. Mahatma, if you have this Shraddhana. Now, what is the quality of this Shraddhana? This is explained in the next line. Vairagya, Jnana Vairagya, Yuktaya. This is imbued with Jnana and Vairagya. So we already discussed the aim of human life is to get knowledge, Jnanam, and Vairagya. And we discussed this before also, that Shripad Shankaracharya, his requirement to study Vedanta was that you have to take sannyas, Vairagya. First Vairagya, then talk. First become sannyasi, then we'll talk Vedanta. So this was Shankaracharya. Of course, our bhakti school is not like that. We accept people. It's the only school, the Jnana school of Jnana, the school of Ashtanga Yoga, they do not accept Grihasthas, according to Srila Prabhupada. Only the bhakti school accept Grihasthas. So, but Vairagya is required even for Grihasthas, because it's an ashram. So Jnana, Vairagya, Yuktaya. Now what is it that we must renounce? What is renunciation actually for a devotee? What is the thing that keeps us here in this material world that we have to renounce? Yes. Yes. Our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. Anything else? Yes. Mithuni agaram. Sex life. Shackles of sex life. Yes. Anything else? That's a specific example of what you said. Yes. Desire to be worshipped as Krishna. Good. Yes. Give up your mental speculation and your previous conceptions. Yes. One more. Freedom from envy and malice. Okay. So all these things must be given up. Prabhupada's words are, you have to become vairagi to your puffed up consciousness that I am master, I am God, I am this, I am that. Those are Prabhupada's words. Very sweet. Give up your puffed up consciousness. It's a matter of consciousness. It's not the things that are bad. The things that we possess are not bad. They're okay, we can use them. But as soon as we think they're mine to enjoy, then we get in trouble. And we get pulled down into the ocean, material existence. So this is the Jnana, this is the Vairagya. So why do we need Jnana and Vairagya with bhakti? Again, I'll quote Burijan Prabhu. He has a very nice statement. He says that without Jnana, you don't know what to do. And without Vairagya, you can't do it. You need both. Without Vairagya, you don't have determination to do anything. So this is important. It's also important. It helps. Of course, bhakti is independent, doesn't depend on anything. And we also heard that if you have bhakti, then automatically Jnana and Vairagya will manifest. They are the children of bhakti. So with Prabhupada's quote, Burijan's quote, it was really good. Okay? Without Jnana, without knowledge, you don't know what to do. I'm sure he'll say it himself. Without knowledge, you don't know what to do. And without detachment, you can't do it. So this is very nice realization we can have. Bhakti ashuta grihitaya. So another point is that this bhakti is not sentimental. Prabhupada would always say, this is a science. Science, jnana vairagya yuktaya. Jnana vijnana. In Bhagavad Gita, again and again. So this bhakti is based on shruti. It's not made up. It's not sentimental. As Sri Rupa Goswami says, shruti smriti puranadi pancharata vidhim vina. If you do not follow Puranas, you make up your own method of devotional service, it is simply a disturbance to society. So bhakti, bhaktiya shruta gihitaya, according to the shruti, according to what we have heard from Narada Muni. So two things, as we discussed in a previous class, parallel lines, Pancharatra and Bhagavat Marg. So Prabhupada, we heard in Bhagavad Gita, religion without philosophy is sentiment. And philosophy without religion religion without philosophy is sentiment. Philosophy without religion is dry speculation. So we have to be very careful. Simply if we have dry speculation, then people will not be attracted. They will not come. And it's simply if we ring the bell And we don't have shravanam and kirtanam. Just like the temples in India are empty because there's no shravanam and kirtanam. There's no life. So both of them, both must be there, bhaktya and shruti. Bhakti, Vedanta. Srila Prabhupada's name, Bhakti, Vedanta. Both must be there. Very important. So verse 13, how to make your life perfect. Now you have jnana, you have vairagya, bhakti. What do you do? Atapumbi tijasresta vanashama vibhagasha svanshitashta masya sangsidhir haritoshanam. O best among the twice-born, it is therefore concluded the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste, divisions, and orders of life is to please personality of Godhead. Because we heard the purpose of human life is to find the truth, to inquire about the truth. Truth is Krishna. We should do bhakti to Krishna. So then it says, Atta, therefore, now you know all these things, therefore, you should try to please Krishna. Try to please Krishna. This is the goal of life. This is the perfection of life. Especially if you're in the varnashram system. So if we have these qualifications, if we have shraddhana, if we're eager for Krishna, imbued with jnana and vairagya, and according to shruti, bhakti, then we can please Krishna. And if Krishna is pleased, the whole world is pleased. Prabhupada again, in describing this verse, tells a story, which you may be aware of. It's from Mahabharata, where Krishna became very pleased with the Pandavas. We know that Duryodhana was always envious of Yudhisthira and Pandavas. So one time Durvasa Muni visited Duryodhana in his palace, and Duryodhana pleased Durvasa Muni. Durvasa said, I'll give you any benediction. He says, okay. You please go to visit the Pandavas after Draupadi has eaten her meals. And Duryodhana was so happy because he knew that Draupadi had a special pot. As soon as she finished eating, there was no food left for anyone. Before she finished, thousands of people could be fed. But after, no one. So Durvasa Muni and his 10,000 disciples, they went to visit the Pandavas. After Draupadi had finished eating, the duty of a kshatriya is to feed everyone. So now they were in a great dilemma. Yudhisthira said, you please go have your bath. When you come back, everything will be ready. Everything is prepared. So in the meantime, they're going to have their bath. Draupadi is crying for Krishna. Please, Krishna, help. And Krishna came. And Krishna said, I'm very hungry. Can you give me something to eat? Draupadi said, it's all finished. What can I do? He said, let me see your pot. So then Draupadi showed the pot. There was a little piece of vegetable. Krishna took it. He ate it. And the whole world was satisfied. And especially the sages who were in Durvasa Muni, all his disciples, they were filled up to the neck. And they looked at each other. They were in the water. So what shall we do? And Durvasa said, I'm not going to mess with the devotees. I already got my lesson from Ambarish. Yudhisthira is a pure devotee. If we go back there and they want us to eat, it'll be a great offense. We better just run. Run for our lives. He already learned his lesson. Actually, it said that his intelligence was purified by that. So they did not disturb the Pandavas. But the point is that Krishna is satisfied. If Krishna is satisfied, then everyone is satisfied. So Satsrut Maharaj poses a very interesting question. I read his book on the Bhagavatam also. When he was talking about, not this verse, another verse, he was asking the question, how do we know if Krishna is pleased? Because here it says, you must please Krishna. Sangsidhir haritoshanam. How do we know? Yes. If Guru is pleased, okay? Yes? If devotees are pleased, yes. Yes. You'll feel happy. Yes. Yainat man supasita ti. You please the Atma. Person eats. Right. He enjoys the taste and he feels satisfaction and gets nourishment. Three things. Tushti, pushti, and yes, we should have detachment. Vairagya is one of them. Detachment, we'll see the Lord and we'll have bhakti. Yes, Madan Gopa. It's a general symptom of auspiciousness in the world. We will see these symptoms if Krishna is pleased. Okay, he's thinking globally here. We have a global vision. We can think individually, we can think about me and my guru and I, or we can think for the whole world. And so if you have a global vision, then you can see how the effects of Krishna consciousness are changing people's lives, the quality of their lives. It's very nice. Okay, this is how we know. Now, I'll tell you what Satsuma Maharaj, what he said. It's quite different, except for one, that the point about happiness. He actually quoted the verse, Savai Pung Sam Paro Dharmo, Yato Bhakti Hoksuje. You know if you're pleasing Krishna if you have no material motivation, your service is not interrupted, and you feel satisfaction, as he also said. You feel happiness, you feel satisfaction. So that was, you just read verse 126, Savai Pung Sam Paro Dharmo, and you'll get the answer. His question, rhetorical question, because he gave the answer. Okay, so verse 14, we have to, another way, now Sutta is going to tell us, how can you stay in your occupation and at the same time please Krishna? The answer is verse 14. Tasmat ekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam pati shota vikirtita vyascha deya pujascha nityada. Therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. So here again we have another therefore. Last verse we had therefore, now we have another therefore, tasmat. Therefore what? Therefore, if you want to please Krishna, you should chant about him, hear, chant, glorify, remember, and worship Krishna. If you want to please him. How to please Krishna. Prabhupada, in his purport, says in the second sentence, in any one of the above-mentioned castes and orders of life, the four processes, namely glorifying, hearing, remembering, and worshipping, are general occupations. Without these principles of life, no one can exist. Activities of a living being involve engagements in these four different principles of life, especially in modern society. All activities are more or less dependent on hearing and glorifying. So it doesn't matter if you're a Shudra, a Vaishya, anything. This is your duty, according to Srila Prabhupada and according to Srimad Bhagavatam. You must hear about, glorify, worship, and remember Krishna. Sattvatam Pati. So how can you satisfy Krishna if you don't know who he is? Shotavya. Therefore you have to hear. And if you hear, you don't simply sit there and say, okay, now I know Krishna. You have to preach. Kirtitavyascha. Prabhupada said, therefore we started back to Godhead so devotees can write their realizations. Kirtitavyascha. Prabhupada said, not simply, oh, I'm hearing for millions of years and still I cannot understand. Because you don't preach. Because you don't write. Because you don't speak. Because you don't chant. So hearing and chanting. And if you're going to speak, you have to think. Dhyaya, you have to meditate. What am I going to say? You have to think about Krishna. If you're thinking about other things, then that's what you'll speak. And puja, worship Krishna. Man mana bhavamad bhakto madaji mam namaskaru. These are required. And of all these, in the next verse, smaranam is actually especially glorified by Sutta Goswami. He says, yad anudyasina yukta karma granti nibantanam chintantiko virastasya ko nakurya kataratim. With sword in hand, intelligent men cut through the binding knots of reactionary work, karma, by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to his message? So, in Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, there's a different kind of a sword that said, you should take this sword and cut down the tree, the banyan tree. What is that sword? Yes? Detachment. Detachment. Now here's a quite different sword. Actually for the Gyanis, detachment, the sword of detachment, the sword of knowledge. But here now we've got remembering Krishna. With this sword, we can cut all of our karma immediately. Karma granti. I was here in Vrindavan about 2 years ago. I saw a marriage ceremony. It's very, very interesting. Vedic marriage. And at one point in the marriage, that the husband and the wife, they had their hands like this, and then they had all these garlands tied around, huge knots, knots and knots and knots of garlands around their hands, and coconuts and leaves and all kind of things. And like there, I was looking at that, and I was thinking, Karma Granti. I was just thinking of this verse. just struck me as very funny. And I said it out loud. And then someone chastised, oh, you're not supposed to joke in marriages. And Dina Bundu said, no, no, you're supposed to joke in marriages. So anyway, but it was so obvious that this is what's happening when you do this. And so Maya has two potencies. One is called Avaranatmika and one is called Pachepatmika. You're thinking Avaranatmika means you're covered. And Maya throws you into a position and you think, I'm very happy. The hog is very happy. You smile. You see the hogs are smiling. They're having nice prasadam stew. Very, very happy. Avaranatmika. And then there's Pachepatmika. Pachepatmika is if you try to come to Krishna, Maya takes you away. This is the example Prabhupada gives you. Maya covers your intelligence. Our students, Prabhupada said, sometimes devotees come. And Maya says, oh, why are you going there? So many restrictions. No meat eating, no gambling, no drugs. You give this up. Come and enjoy with me for some more time. Don't surrender there. You have to be independent under my control. So this is Maya's business. So to counteract this Maya's very strong potency, then we have to take the sword of remembrance of Krishna. And if who knows this? This is the Kovida, the intelligent person. He knows, yes, if I simply remember Krishna, I am protected. I am protected from Maya. So this is the Shravanam Kirtanam. This is the sword to cut down. Chindanti, cut this knot. Actually, I remember one story about Alexander the Great. There was one knot somewhere, I think in Delhi or somewhere. And there was a prophecy that whoever could untie this knot, he would conquer India or conquer the world. So many people were coming and trying to untie this knot. Nobody could do it. So Alexander the Great, he came, he took his sword and he cut the knot. So this is what has to be done, according to these verses. We have to cut the knot of karma in our hearts. But anyway, it's very nice what happens after we do that. We'll find out tomorrow. It's very wonderful what happens when the knot is gone. Verse 16 will tell us actually how we can do this in an easy way. Shushusha Sharadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syamahat Sevaya Pipa Punyatirtani Shevanat. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev. So in order to get the sword, Prabhupada says, how do you get the sword? You have to serve the devotees. Satsevaya. This is how we get the sword. So Prabhupada explained that when he came to America, New York, in the beginning, he started this movement simply with this sword of chanting and hearing. He said, I had no other sword. Other religions, they come with a shastra, the scripture in one hand, and a sword in another. And they say, if you don't accept my scripture, I cut off your head. He said, but I was not like that. I had a different sword. I had the sword of hearing and chanting. So Prabhupada, this was his process, and this is our process. Sat syan mahat sevaya vipra. Serve the devotee. The devotee has the taste. He has Krishna. He can give you Krishna. Krishna Shetomar, Krishna Dite Para. And he has a taste and you can give you the taste. And he has the Shravanam Kirtanam, Smaranam, and he can give you that. So in the purport, especially the last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada explains, the servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord and are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in Bhagavad Gita that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants with taste for hearing. And thus, one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. So, Again, it may be, it's easy to say, okay, we got to serve the devotees. But it can be demanding. Because the pure devotees, they're sadhus. They can cut all your misconceptions, all your illusions. And so you may not want to be around the sadhus too much. Especially if you're attached to your misconceptions and your illusions. It's very, very difficult. They may ask you to do something that you may not want to do. They may ask you to follow. It's a very, very difficult instruction. So, one time Srila Prabhupada, he was on the train in India, in first class, sitting with, I believe, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and other disciples. And one very wealthy Indian man came to see Srila Prabhupada. He said, Swamiji, please give me your blessings. And Srila Prabhupada smiled. He said, yes. He pointed to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He said, here's my blessing. You'll become like him. Then you will understand. And then the man got really confused and bewildered. He said, no, that's not what I meant. Anyway, I have a very urgent appointment. I have to go. Because the blessings that people want, generally, they go to the sadhu to cure some disease or to get some wealth, the blessings of wealth, Lakshmi, different kind of blessings. But the blessing of renunciation and bhakti, they don't want. Gorky Shardas Babaji, same thing. Right, this rich man, he came, he said, Babaji, I'll build you a very wonderful hut. Nice bhajan kuti, you can sit the whole day and you'll be protected from the sun. Because he was sitting in the latrine. So this is not a good place. I will build you a nice house. And Gorky Shardas Babaji said, so I have to become your tenant? I have to serve you? And the man said, no, whatever you say, I am your servant. Whatever you say, I'll do. So Gorky Shardas was very humorous. He said, oh, whatever I say, you'll do? He said, yes, I am your servant. So then Gorky Shardas Babaji said, okay, I'm telling you now, sit down here, don't go home. And the man was very shocked. He said, no, I cannot do that. Give up everything and just follow me. So this was Srila Prabhupada's demand also. Surrender, sarva dharmam parityaja, give up your nonsense occupations and surrender to me. And this sadhu is also asking the same thing. He's a representative of Krishna. He will also ask, and maybe sometimes difficult to follow. So Srila Prabhupada, there's so many examples of what he asked us to do in the early days, unthinkable things that we would never do. Now at my age, I think, oh, how did I ever do these things? But Prabhupada, he asked us to do it. And he gave us the power to do it also. And he would take us the next step that we didn't want to go in surrender. But we had this, I was living outside and before I became a devotee. And I was thinking, yeah, devotees are nice, prasad's nice, kirtan's nice, books are nice. I was reading all the books. I said, but I don't want to surrender. I don't want to move in the temple. Because that time, surrender meant moving in the temple. To become a devotee, you had to live in the temple. He had to leave everything and live in the temple. So I was thinking, no, I can't do it. And then Prabhupada, the devotees, this was Boston Temple, they said, okay, Prabhupada's coming this weekend. And they said, if you like, you can stay for the weekend. I said, okay, I'll come and stay for the weekend. So then I went there and I stayed over the first night. Then when Prabhupada was, the day he was supposed to come, we got a phone call. Prabhupada's not coming. He's not able to come. Instead, four sannyasis came that time. So four sannyasis came for the weekend, and it was very enlivening. Vishwajan Maharaj was leading us kirtan day and night, very charismatic devotee, and there were lectures. So after 2 days of staying in the temple, I was so happy. I said, well, why should I go home? Of course, my husband was there, but anyway. I was really happy. And so I went home, told my husband goodbye, and went back to the temple. And, of course, my husband also became a devotee 2 months later. But that potency is there. Prabhupada, he knew, and not only myself, that weekend there were, I think, 4 or 5 people who became devotees just because Prabhupada said he was going to come. He didn't even come. He just said he was coming. We all became devotees. So that was the push. He was pushing us here and there. I probably would have taken much longer to join if it hadn't been for Prabhupada. So anyway, we take the risk. Prabhupada, my whole devotional life is just taking the risk. Just we just had to do things that we didn't know how to do. But everyone said, no problem, it's the order of the guru. So even if you don't know how to do it, Prabhupada will help you. So it's the story of our lives in the early days. Yes, you can go open a temple, you can go do this. Poverty.
It made it very exciting.
Yes. That was one thing. I wasn't that kind of person. I wanted a peaceful life, but as soon as I became a devotee, that was the end of the peaceful life. No more peace. Looking for peace in spiritual life? Anyway, I guess it's an impersonalist idea anyway. I had to get rid of that impersonalist conception. Yes?
Remind me of safety.
Desire for safety and protection. Okay. Okay. Be secure in this world. Yes. 214. 240. 240. You sure? Nehabikramanashosti. Pativayosuti. Anyway, we get the idea. Okay, so we'll end here. Any more questions or discussion? Yes, Prabhu. You know, we were hippies. You know, love and peace and all that. Yes, that's another point. It's always fresh. Always fresh, yeah. Yes, you can see it more positively. Yes, as she said, it was exciting. Yes, boredom is finished. 2:45, okay? Yeah, yes, yes. Yes, you go to the Brahman and you find peace. Well, it's very boring. So, you know, that was that was everyone's conception of spiritual life, that you just find peace. That was destroyed by Krishna consciousness, that conception. That was cut. So now we no longer desire peace, but we desire bhakti, service to Krishna. Of course, it's the only peace, actually. It's the only. Yes, you get eternal peace. Actually, it's the only satisfaction. Yenat mas pasidati. It's a fact. On the way, it may not be so peaceful. So you get to the point of... Yes, yes. That's enough to bring you peace. You're on the path. Yes, nishinanda. Okay, you're free from material anxiety, but you get spiritual anxiety. Yes, that's a fact. Of Vrindavan Prabhu. Yes, in the end of the second chapter, you're saying. Yeah. How can people be happy if they... How can they be peaceful if they don't know the goal, right? Without peace. How can you have happiness without peace? And peace means to know the goal. Krishna is the ultimate goal. Yes, darshan. Work now, samadhi later. Work now, samadhi later, yes. And he followed that to the end of his life. He never got the samadhi. He was always... I do Prabhupada's letters every day in his desk. I change his letters. And so many, just today also, it said, now I want to read... This was 1970. Prabhupada made the GBC. He says, okay, now you take care of the management. I'm just going to simply write books. Then again, 1972. Now I just want to write book. Again, 75. Now you take care of the management. But it never happened. He had to do the management. Yes. Regard to... Yes. Sixth canto. Yes. Yes. Nirjan bhajan. That's what it means, according to what he said, but by Prabhupada's example, it didn't happen. He never did it. In fact, he started at the age of 70, 69. He started his preaching. Yes. Yes. Competencies. Yeah. It was very difficult. He couldn't. And on his last days, I was hearing the tapes, and in his very last few weeks, he kept saying, don't spoil it, don't spoil it. I've given it to you, I've given it. Now I've given you everything. Don't spoil it. Sankirtanas. Point of pleasing the voice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, he was convinced. Okay, his... Okay, his point is that sometimes we may have outer voices of the devotees who tell us that what we're doing is not so pleasing. But we have to listen to our inner voice. I know there's some good examples here in Vrindavan of devotees who are like that, that everyone is against them, but they're just listening to their inner voice. So can we see... Okay. Right. So it appears that Prabhupada was not listening to the outer voices, but he was simply following his inner voice that told him that this is my service to my spiritual Madhavendra Puri. There were factions. Okay, the point is that the point of the question is that if the devotees are not pleased with what you're doing, how do you know if you're pleasing your guru? Yes. Right. Yes. Okay, that's a very good point. Yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly. From the very beginning, he had the order, preach in English. Preach to the Western world. So it wasn't like some, as Prabhupada said, not some mystical thing. He had the order, and he was following the order. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, he always said that my Shila Bhakti Siddhanta is always with me. My guru is always with me. Shivindam. Falena parichiyate. You can judge by the result. The result was there. Yes. And when Prabhupada, when he was on his deathbed, when he was ready to leave, his godbrothers came and he was begging forgiveness for my offenses. And his godbrothers said, no, you have not done any offense. You have preached. You are actually patita pavan. You have uplifted the most fallen. You are the savior. Yes, darshan. Oh, greatly misused. Many devotees take this. They say, I will make my own movement, like Prabhupada did. They are doing. No, Prabhupada didn't give that instruction. Very good. Yes, we should cooperate. Cooperate was his main instruction. Cooperate with each other. Yes, your love will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. Yes, Vanmali. Yeah, there's a history. There's a great history there. You can research that if you like. Okay. So any other questions or discussion? Yes, Prabhu? Sound representation of Krishna. Okay. Okay, here's a possible research topic for some group or person. Is it all right to write in the Bhagavatam or not? The Bhagavatam is Krishna. Okay, this is a good question. Anybody have any? Of course, your group has discussed it. What was the conclusion of your group? Arjunacharya. He was writing in the text. He was correcting? It's different. He was an editor? We're hearing from an editor in the audience here. Yes. So, should we follow or imitate? Is it following or imitating if we also write in our books? Okay. Premnidhi. Mahavishnu Maharaj was asked this question in Nepal. Can it imitate? Yes. Yeah, this is what Burijan Prabhu uses. You'll see when he starts speaking, he uses these little paste-ons. When he has notes, and he puts it in. Therefore, the binding is usually finished by the time. But anyway, yes. Yes. Deity is non-different. Yes, okay, for brass deity we use lemon juice. Right. Okay, because it's brass. Does anybody want to make research into this? Vishakapriya? Okay, we're underlining the purpose. Purports. That's another point. We're not touching the original sound vibration. Okay, now we're getting into technical points. I think this is a question for research and not discussion. Does anybody volunteer? Any group which has so much extra time you'd like to research, or anybody has a great interest in the topic? Shakapriya, would you like to research it? Okay, no time. Anybody? Prima Niti. You have more too. You're also packed. Everybody's packed. Okay. So we'll all meditate on this question and maybe somebody will get the inspiration to further the topic. Okay? Any other? Vishakapriya. Nirjan Bhajan. Okay, the topic was discussed by Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. Right. Okay, here's the answer. Okay, everybody hear that? Okay, good. The question is, anyway, yes, Shivanam Prabhu. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yes, he retired. Yes. But you do that. And Prabhupada was always talking about it, but he never did it. He's talking, I should do this, I should do this. And the context which Darshan was talking about in the sixth canto, I believe, was when Narada Muni was cursed by Daksha that you cannot stay in one place more than 3 days. So Prabhupada said, I've been cursed by the parents of my disciples that I cannot stay more than 3 days in one place. So I would like to transfer this curse to my disciples, that they travel, and so I can sit down and write and give you some books. Actually, his idea of Nirjan Bhajan was also to write books. It wasn't like he was going to sit and have his private meditation. His idea was also preaching. He was going to sit and translate, finish the Bhagavatam, translate so many books for our benefit. It's not exactly the same idea as Nirjan Bhajan. When a preacher retires, he's still preaching. He never stopped. And so it's quite a different concept. You retire, okay, but you're still preaching. You're still writing. Nishingananda? Yes. Nishingananda wants to die on the battlefield with his boots on. Means preaching. Just like Prabhupada did. In fact, his last desire was to go around on Parikrama, around Govardhan. He didn't want to die in his room. But anyway, there's something. Yes, Parvati. Okay. Prabhupada is still preaching. He lives, the Vaishnava lives through his words. Yes. Madan Gopal. How Bhakti is independent? Very good question. The question is, we're going back to the same question. I think this question comes up practically every day. So that means we don't understand it. How Bhakti is independent. Those of you who have studied scrutinizingly nectar devotion, who have taught nectar devotion, would like to answer? Yes. No material cause. Bhakti can only be caused by bhakti. And the carrier of bhakti is the devotee. So the cause of bhakti is bhakti. Nothing else can cause bhakti. Even some of the things that we do in devotional service may not be a cause for Krishna to appear before us or for us to get love of Krishna. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just like Narada Muni, he saw Krishna and then he lost his darshan. Then he sat down again trying to do this. Okay, what did I do last time? I was sitting like this. I was thinking like this. I was doing it. It didn't happen. Why did it happen one time and didn't happen the other time? Same thing. Same person, just 1 second later, few minutes later. And one time he got the darshan, one time he didn't. Krishna is independent, that's why. Bhakti is independent, because Krishna is independent. He's a person. Even we have some independence. If we don't like someone, then we won't go and see them. If we're not attracted, then we won't. So why Krishna should come and see us? Why should we get Krishna's attention? Okay, anything else on this? Yes. Similar. Purport 16 and 15. Okay, the quality of, by serving the servants, you get the quality of the servant. The quality of the servant is that he's eager to hear. Right. Iron put in the fire. So you by association with the devotees, you get their qualities. Just like association with fire, you get the qualities of fire. Vanamali? Yes. Okay. Shivindavan. Seventh canto. What is that? 7? 29? 28? 7, 9, 28. Right. Yeah. And if you try to bypass the servant, then you become sahajiya. And the sahajiyas, they have their own ideas, that they are with Krishna, they are enjoying with Krishna. So they are bypassing the servant. Yes. 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 Yes, that is our sarup. Our sarup city, we are servant of the servant, Krishna. That is what we know. We know what is our relationship with Krishna. We're servant of the servant. Servant of the servant. Yes, Darshan? Yes, well, the example is Sachimata. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, she offended Advaita. And Lord Chaitanya told her, if you don't go and take the dust of Advaita's feet, then you won't get love of Godhead. So, of course, Sachimata is the mother of Lord Chaitanya. She certainly has prema. But the example is there. Lord Chaitanya taught through his disciples. Just like there's a saying, the mother teaches the daughter-in-law through the daughter. So Krishna teaches the world through his devotees. Lord Chaitanya used his devotees as examples. So the example of that is Sachimata. That she had prema, but he said, you don't go, take the dust of Advaita's lotus feet, you will not get prema. And then she was going to visit Advaita Prabhu, and I don't know the exact story, but I know that somehow when Advaita saw her, he went to get the dust of her feet, and he fell unconscious. And when he was unconscious, then she went and got his dust. Something like that. They were both in ecstasy, and they both wanted the dust, but she succeeded. Because that was Lord Chaitanya's order. She had to succeed. Yeah, well, this is as far as I know, this is the example. Does anybody have anything else on this? Even if you're in prema, you can fall down if you make an offense to another devotee. There's an example. Mad elephant offense. Mm-hmm. Became a ghost. Acha. Godbrother of the guru of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He offended Amataji. She was chanting during Bhagavatam class. He became angry. Anyway, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. The example is Sachimata that I know of. Okay, any other questions? Can make an offense. How is it possible that someone who has prema won't have this? First you become a prema bhakta and then you'll understand. Because I'm not, so I don't understand. Leela. That's a dangerous conception. If you offend somebody, it's Leela. Even the gopis can fall down. Okay, well, we have our independence. This is the point. Yes? Tapa Mishra. Oh, he was arranging a meeting? Yeah. Okay, if the Mahabhagavata hears, the Mahavad philosophy can change his mind. Decision. Abdut Priya. Even a prema bhakta has anartas. Well, you're supposed to at least go past anarta nivritti before you get to prema. Hopefully. We'll hear about that tomorrow. Of course, you haven't read that part yet, so. Yes. Okay. Okay, there's different degrees of eradication of anartas. Right. Up to the stage of bhava, there's remnants of anartas. Speci Vaishnava Aparada. Okay, stage of prema, anarthas are eradicated. Okay, no question of anarthas at the stage of prema. Yes, we'll hear tomorrow about anartha nivritti, and probably Prabhupada will explain exactly what it means in one lecture. What does this mean, anartha nivritti? How nashta prayesha bhadeshu, we say every day. What is the meaning of this? It says almost all. So what is that that's still there? What's still there? We'll have to stop, I think, now. It's 1 o'clock. You have an urgent question or a point? Which verse? 11. Substance. Yeah, we'll have to refer back to the second verse, vastu vastavam, that there is substance. Yeah, you can study the second verse of this canto, of first canto, first chapter. It's talking about separating substance from shadow or truth from illusion. So this is the truth. Truth is separated from illusion, substance. The reality, in other words. Substance means the reality. Now we have a world here, but the substance is not exactly easy to see. What is the substance of this world? It's covered. It's covered to our vision. Actually, Krishna is everywhere. Prabhupada said, devotee can see Krishna is everywhere in every atom. Why don't we don't see? We don't see the substance. Krishna is here. We cannot see. But now it's being revealed. Krishna is here. Krishna is being revealed in Bhagavatam. Absolute truth is a substance. Brahman, Paramatma. Brahman is everywhere. Paramatma is everywhere. And Bhagavan. So but we have to get the prema, the ointment of love of Godhead, and then we can see. So we're step by step, we're getting there in our studies. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.